Okay, thanks, Year 11, for joining me again. We're going to be continuing our study looking at Cormac McCarthy's The Road. So pick up your books, open them up to page 135, and while you're doing that, I'll give you a quick recap of what we looked at last week. So last week we looked at the section where the boy and the man are starving and they go foraging for food and they enter a house, and the boy has this foreboding sense that they need to leave. But the father is obviously so worried about getting him food that he ignores that. He finds a basement that's locked. They open the basement. He thinks that there's something valuable down there. And when he walks into the basement, he sees naked people and a person on a mattress with their limbs cut off. And he realizes in that moment that that these people are being kept for food. And so terrified, he runs and they try and flee. They are chased, but eventually they do escape, these men, but the boy is, he's not okay with what's happened, and, you know, he's only a young boy, and he's trying to process this. And so on page 135, we see him grappling with what's just happened, and his father affirming and talking to him through that. So let's read from page 135. We're looking really at the top of the page. They passed through the towns that warned people away with messages scrawled on the billboards. The billboards had been whited out with thin coats of paint in order to write on them, and through the paint they could be seen a pale palimpsest of advertisements for goods which no longer existed. They sat by the road and ate the last of the apples. "What is it?" the man said. "Nothing. We'll find something to eat. We always do." The boy didn't answer. The man watched him. "That's not it, is it?" "It's okay. Tell me." The boy looked away down the road. "I want you to tell me. It's okay." He shook his head. "Look at me," the man said. He turned and looked. He looked like he'd been crying. "Just tell me. We wouldn't ever eat anybody, would we?" "No, of course not." "Even if we're starving?" "We're starving now." "You said we weren't." "I said we weren't dying. I didn't say we weren't starving." "But we wouldn't?" "No, we wouldn't." "No matter what?" "No, no matter what. Because we're the good guys, yes. And we're carrying the fire." "And we're carrying the fire, yes. Okay." All right, so I'll just stop it there and chat to you about what's going on here. So as I said, the boy is trying to grapple with what's happened in this post-apocalyptic world. He's being confronted constantly with this dehumanized humanity, that there are people out there that, because of the bleakness of the world that they've encountered and because of the risk of starvation and death, that they have that they've lost all morality and have turned to cannibalism. And that horrifies him. Because his father, despite the bleakness of the world, has been trying to instill in him a strong sense of morality. And, you know, that's one of the ideas that Cormac McCarthy explores. And here he needs his father to reassert that, to affirm that, that they are the good guys. And there's that quote there again on page 136, but we're the good guys. And the metaphoric symbol of that in the novel is this idea of carrying the fire, that carrying the fire metaphorically represents that the boy and the man have maintained their humanity. They have a strong sense of morality despite the world that they are faced with, and that is what they're clinging to, and that's what they're carrying when they refer to the fire. And it's really important to the boy, and partly because the man has instilled that in him. So we're really confronted with some of the themes here. We're starting to see the themes that Cormac McCarthy is exploring, so morality. And the other one that we see here and in the next section I'll look at with you is this intense, deep familial love between the father and the son. we know that the father's got a higher purpose. He feels that he's been, you know, that his son is his charge, his divine purpose to look after him and to make sure that he not only survives but isn't traumatized, isn't scarred by this horrible world that they live in. But it's that strong familial love that he's also exploring, that despite the horror that's going on, that is still, you know, that's a still significant and timeless story to tell. You know, last lesson we were looking at in our other text, Super Toys, in that short story, we were looking at a real contrast of this familial love because of the artificial intelligence. But here, see how that's still something that authors, through the mode of storytelling, which goes back to our rubric, are trying to explore and deal with in more detail, this idea of family relationships and the significance and importance of that. And I think Cormac McCarthy is using this story, this allegorical story of a man and a son travelling a road in this bleak world, to affirm to us the need to have those strong family connections and that familial love. Right, we're only going to go on a little bit to page 137. We're going to go to that middle paragraph. So let's keep reading. He was beginning to think that death was finally upon them and that they should find some place to hide where they would not be found. There were many times where he sat watching the boy sleep and he would begin to sob uncontrollably. But it wasn't about death. He wasn't sure what it was about, but he thought it was about beauty or about goodness, things that he'd no longer any way to think about at all. They squatted in a bleak wood and drank ditch water strained through a rag. He'd seen the boy in a dream laid out upon a cooling board and woke in horror. When he could, what he could bear in the waking world, he could not by night, and he sat awake for fear the dream would return. So I think this, again, section looks at how the boy and the man are trying to cling on to that goodness despite what's happening in the world around them. And I think I'll get you to come back later and get down that quote where it says halfway down that paragraph on page 137, he wasn't sure what it was about, but he thought it was about beauty or goodness. Remember way back a few podcasts ago, I wanted to point out that quote where he talks about write a litany. There is some desire and some driving force in the man that needs to impart the good aspects of humanity, that morality that we have, the good things to cling to. And I think his fear here isn't so much about his son dying, but it's about whether or not they'll be able to maintain that morality. And that's just as important to him as keeping his son alive. And after the cannibalism that they've just seen, of course he wakes up during the night crying uncontrollably because he fears for his son and all the horrific things that he's seen. You know, he wants him to maintain some goodness. He wants him to still see that there is goodness in the world. Okay, we're going to move on a little bit we're going to look at a good section in the novels where we have this break from the horror that we see, and it's when they come across the food store, the bunker that's been set up for a rainy day that hasn't been used and hasn't been raided and people haven't seen, and it offers for us this moment of hope for the boy and the man, and they have this brief interlude where they act like, you know, almost normal pre-apocalyptic father and son, and they have a meal together and they sit down and they have coffee, they play board games, they even have a bath together. And so I just wanted to bring your attention to this section because it does again, explore a sense of hope in contrast to the bleakness, and it explores this familial love and relationship. Okay, so on page 146, they come across this. And so down the bottom of the page, I'll just give you the imagery that we have where Cormac McCarthy really tries to emphasize the treasure trove that they've found. So on that last paragraph I'm looking at on page 146, crate upon crate of canned goods, tomatoes, peaches, beans, apricot, canned hams, corned beef, hundreds of gallons of water in 10-gallon plastic jerry jugs, paper towels, toilet paper, paper plates, plastic trash bags stuffed with blankets. He held his forehead in his hand. "Oh, my God," he said. He looked back at the boy. "It's all right," he said. "Come down." "Papa, come down. Come down and see." He stood the lamp on the step and went up and took the boy by the hand. "Come on," he said. "It's all right. What did you find?" "I found everything. Everything. Wait till you see." He led him down the stairs and picked up the bottle and held the flame aloft. "Can you see?" he said. "Can you see?" "What is all this stuff, Papa?" "It's food. Can you read it?" "Pears. That says pears." "Yes. Yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does." There was just headroom for him to stand. He ducked under a lantern with a green metal shade hanging from a hook. He held the boy by the hand and they went along the rows of stenciled cartons. Chili, corn, stew, soup, spaghetti sauce. The richness of a vanished world. "Why is this here?" said the boy said. "Is it real?" "Oh, yes, it's real." He pulled one of the boxes down and clawed it open and held up a can of peaches. "It's here because someone thought it might be needed." "But they didn't get to use it." "No, they didn't. They died." "Yes." "Is it okay for us to take it?" "Yes, it is. They would want us to do it, just like we would want them to." "They were the good guys?" "Yes, they were. Like us?" "Like us, yes." "So it's okay?" "Yes, it's okay." All right, so I know that these are, these items that are listed on page 146, the crate upon crate of canned goods, tomatoes, peaches, beans, apricots, canned hams, corned beef, you know, we might not think that that's a treasure trove, but here, you know, in the world that they're facing, it is. It means life. It means that they can continue to live, and it gives them hope. And I just want you to go to page 147, and I'll get you to come back to this page and note that quote, "the richness of a vanished world," there. So really, this is giving them, as I said before, this is going to be this glimpse of normality in this horrible world that they live in. But then on page 148, the boy needs reassurance that they're not stealing from anyone, that they're not going to be degrading themselves by taking this, that they're not thieving, that they're not losing that morality that is so important to him. You know, and he said, and the father assures him, "No, it's okay. This is safe for us to take. We're not stealing from anyone." And then there's the assurance there that these guys were the good guys, and yes, they're like us. We are still the good guys. I'll leave it there for now, and I'll get you to go back now to those two pages that we looked at. I'll get you to go back to page 136 and note down those quotes about "we're carrying the fire" and "we're the good guys," and then 137 where he wasn't sure about what he thought it was, but about beauty, was about beauty and goodness. And then I'll also just get you to make sure that you note some of those quotes on page 146, 147 of "the richness of a vanished world." I'll leave another table for you to complete so that you can just add to your notes and your on this. And I'll start to get you to make some notes and have some examples and tables around this idea of morality and familial love, as those are some of the core ideas that Cormac McCarthy is exploring. Okay, thanks, Year 11.